Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Happy New Year, all y'all out there today with the beginning of 2024. I had to pause and think, what year is this? 2024. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm here with you again for another episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values than love, I believe, devolve easily into BS. Bait and switch or other matters that sound like BS. All I want is to live my life full of love, aimed at love, rooted in love, going for love. And if I fail, I'm going to get up, dust off, and start over again. So I appreciate you coming here every time you come. If you've never been here before, welcome. We do a couple of things regularly. I'll get to in a moment. But if you've been here before, your faithful listenership to this broadcast means the world to me. I truly mean that. You bring a smile to my face. You bring a joy to my heart. And it leaves me with a sense of real purpose with what I do here. In my own small way, changing the world one word at a time, one person at a time, one life at a time, beginning with my own life, I want the world to change. So here on the No BS Bishop, we open with Love's Creed, something I wrote several years ago as a New Year's resolution. Imagine that, right about this time as we're coming into the new year. This would be a great resolution. So I'm offering it to you in that context, but I'm also offering it to you as something we do each and every week when we gather for the No BS Bishop. It's a creed that gives you an opportunity to say out loud what it is you believe and what you want to live toward. And in my heart of hearts, I would love to hear that others are going along down the highway with Love's Creed in their mind. Or perhaps it's something that you, while you're shaving, putting on your makeup, or you couldn't do it while you're brushing your teeth. That'd be awkward, wouldn't it? But you're saying the Love's Creed as you prepare for your day, day by day. I don't do it every day, but I do it most days. It's not just something that I wrote for this radio broadcast. In fact, as I said, it was a New Year's resolution over a decade ago. So I'm going to give you Love's Creed. I'll ask you to repeat after me. After the first time I read it through, I'll give it back to you in short bursts like a vow at a wedding altar for a bride and groom. All right, so here's Love's Creed in total, then we'll come back and repeat it. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I am alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There it is in total. Now here it is. Here it is in short bursts, and you repeat after me, please. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I am not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There it is, Love's Creed. If you'd like a copy of that, you could email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's all one word, randydeanministries, all lowercase, @gmail. It would be my pleasure to send you a copy. No strings attached, no BS, no bait and switch for you. I want to get this in as many hands as I possibly can so that you can go forward into the new year with an aim, with a target in your mind and in your footsteps. And that's my purpose for today. Aiming for love in a new year. Making love your curriculum. Making love your assignment day by little moments every day. I believe that courage, I just spoke this out in a setting not too long ago, that courage is not some fell swoop. You know, you jump into a burning building to rescue people. That is that for sure. But most of us will never do that. Courage isn't just something that we do in a one-time act where we suddenly leap to action. Courage is how we act little by little, moment by moment. Word by word, action by action, the courage to be kind, the courage to be patient, the courage to show deference to other people's thoughts and their own world, to know that in courage, we aren't just waiting for some exciting, dramatic moment, but courage is that daily decision that keeps my heart couraged. The word courage comes from the root of heart, that I'm putting my heart right out there to live right out loud. So I would put that into the courage to love. That living with the courage to love is what we're being invited to in the new year, at least what I'm inviting you to join me. Live the courage of love, the courage of, as we'll close today, the courage to say, I love you to somebody, even a complete stranger. It's so awkward. It's so startling. I understand that. I understand that more than anybody because I've said this for years in several settings. But even though it can be awkward and it can be startling and even weird, it's an invitation to push past your boundaries about touching the life around you, to live by a strategic plan in this new year, a strategic decision that I'm going to love no matter what comes my way. Now, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Because you know in the last year, in 23, that a lot of things came your way that you didn't anticipate. You didn't write down on your calendar. You didn't put down somewhere back in November. You didn't say, well, expect bad things to come this month. Let's be prepared for it. No, you don't know. You don't know when bad or good is coming. You just live day by day. And I said, as I said about courage, you live with some degree of small steps toward the goal, toward the target of courage, and in this case, toward the target of love. So I'm convinced that love is a strategy and that it positions itself as a filter for us, a filter through which we're going to look at the world around us. This is the filter through which I'll see the world. So if I see people acting badly, and I do, I don't have some kind of cotton candy, unicorn kind of life where I don't see people doing bad things. I do. But I've chosen to see bad behavior and folks behaving badly through a filter of love. To understand that this is a person whose love losses are significant, and that's why they're behaving badly. They don't have the platform for life that others have, that love gives most of us the opportunity to live with good behavior, without calling folks names. You know, that's where I look at somebody. If I see somebody or hear somebody name-calling or chunking emotional rocks at folks, all I have in my little emotional toolbox is that I see somebody whose love losses have demanded so much pain in their life day by day that they cannot filter life through anything less than love losses. So I believe in that filter of love. It commands me to be obedient, to be compassionate, even when I see foolishness happening all around me, and even foolishness at my expense. So here on No BS Bishop, I've reminded you repeatedly over the past 4+ years that I don't live some charmed unicorn magic pixie dust life. I've had more than my fair share of love losses, more than my fair share of betrayals. As a pastor, I think pastors in the 21st century are more likely to be betrayed than ever before. And I've been in ministry 50 years, and If you want to put an equation on that, an algebraic equation to it, I would suggest that you don't. Just hear me when I tell you it's a bunch. It's a lot of betrayal. But I'm not going to live by my vision and view of betrayals. I've decided to live my life by the vision and by the strategic filter of love, so that when I am treated badly, when there's something happening, foolishness happening at my expense, well, my choice is going to be love. And in love, I will find a way to manage that. Now, on the front side of that, as a human being, as you are, given to foibles and weaknesses and weariness, I make mistakes. I say here often, when I have taught on love as a pastor, I'm always challenged by somebody somewhere, comes along and says, well, yeah, you talk big about love, but you didn't love me when, and then they'll fill in the blank. I used to be defensive about that, and I've discovered there's no use in being defensive about it. Just be honest. I'll just say, well, I can only say as a human being, I may not have been loving at that moment. And as you give me witness to it, I'll concede. You're right. I wasn't loving in those moments. So please forgive me. I will move forward. I'll get up and dust myself off. And I will seek to be better at my practice of love. I know that that's how it has to happen. And I would invite you to live that way, with that filter of love going into the new year. So when you look at others and you see their love losses, as I suggested a moment ago, and you recognize their bad behavior is due to love losses, look in the mirror. What are your love losses? Where did you stumble and fall in love? Or where did others who are significant in your life stumble and fall in their expression of love? The expression of love through moms and dads has a huge role in shaping our behaviors. The expression of love from any family member, but in particular our parents. If our parents were not as skilled in love as they might otherwise should be, well, we're going to live on the love loss side of that. But now what do I do? Do I spend the rest of my life just, you know, in some kind of great big ball of self-pity? Or do I live the rest of my life with a sense that I have love losses there that I'm going to need a purpose to push forward and find a way to recoup my love losses? Now, hear that carefully. That doesn't mean that I've got to quickly go find somebody who will love me right. It means that I'm going to have to look, first of all, to God. 1 John chapter 4 says, God is love. Love is God. He who dwells in love dwells in God. He who dwells in God dwells in love. There is an eternal beauty, majesty that's as big as the universe itself, that is love. So if my love losses are significant, so my invitation to be loved is equally, if not more, significant. Finding ways daily through prayer and meditation, through contemplation, finding a way to just square off against the world and be alone for 15, 20, 30 minutes and meditate on the love of God for my life. That's a way to challenge significant love losses. And I know there are many of you listening to me who have suffered deep and extraordinary love losses. I really get it. But I also want you to know that in your love losses, there's an invitation, an eternal, majestic, universe-sized, galaxy-sized invitation. Come to the deep end of the pool of love. I just have a life that's, as you hear me say, I'm alive to love. I have a life that I have to measure every step and every word I take somehow by my determination to stay in love or my sloppiness or laziness, and I can be that, toward a lovelessness, which causes, by the way, love losses for others around me. Now, nobody else deserves that. I certainly didn't deserve love losses in my life, no more than or less than anybody else. And so if I'm creating love losses, well, now I've, I've got a pretty tall order to follow. I'm going to need to reestablish my own loving behavior, to live this love curriculum in the new year. My obedience to love is a means by which I can structure what I'm witnessing, what I'm living, keeping me consistently aware that there's no moment happening in my life that isn't an invitation to deepen my expression of love and to deepen my experience of love. I've said here once before, I think love is like a microscope, and love is also a telescope. So as a microscope with love, I'm looking into every molecule of my life. Get that right. You're not taking the microscope to others, but take the microscope to your own life. To live a fearless and searching moral inventory, as AA invites us to do. To look in deeply and to see inside of ourselves with a microscope how we've been shaped through the relentless passage of time that's happening upon every one of us. Time is just clicking on, just clicking forward, 1 minute after the next. You can't turn the clock backward. You've got to live with the clock ticking forward. And in the forward motion of the clock, through a microscope, look at your basis for seeing life, for living life, the curriculum as to how your life is being shaped by love. Love is also a telescope through which we can look forward in life. And I'm inviting you in particular on this broadcast to take love as a telescope into 2024, to look out toward the year in front of you. There are going to be 1,000 unexpected moments. There will be 100 heartbreaks. There will also be 1,000 joys. There will also be hundreds of heartening moments where your heart will fly like an eagle. Every one of those moments is an invitation to deepen your experience with love. Yes, even the disappointing moments, even the furiously difficult moments, even your failures, even your stumbles and your falls. Look into the new year with a telescope. Look out into January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, November, December. Did I say that right? You know, when you're not paying close attention, your tongue gets caught around your eye teeth and you can't see what you're saying. That happened to me just right there. And you know what I'm saying, then 12 months in front of us. Let's just buckle up, buttercup, and live 24 with a determination that love is going to be the curriculum, it's going to be my structured living. Love will be my resolution. Maybe your only word for your resolution in 24 is love, L-O-V-E, all caps with an exclamation mark. My resolution for the new year, love. To love the difficult, to love the easy, to love in the difficulties, to love in the easy moments, to love in the towering challenges that leave me heartbroken and crying, to love in the deep laughters, to love in the sighs of delight, to love with a powerful challenge coming at me from people whose behavior is extraordinarily bad, but to love in the midst of people whose love is so inspiring, and then allow myself to be deeply inspired by the love of others, to see their love as an invitation to just, let's just keep spiraling this beautiful chain of love. So the new year is, it's certainly that time for, looking at our goals for how much we're going to read or how we're going to focus on our diet. I do that like you do. How much we're going to look at our exercise regimen, and maybe we're asking ourselves, whoa, we haven't been exercising at all, or maybe we have some, but we want to increase it. I get it. I'm a runner, and I want to make sure in the new year that I'm running a little more. And by the way, as a 70-year-old senior citizen, I got to keep my goals pretty high to keep me moving in my running. But all that said, let's take a step back a moment And make sure that our New Year's resolutions, our goals for the new year, are not just based on physicality. Because, see, life is bigger than our physical walk and living. Life is so, in fact, I would suggest that all of our physicality is reliant on our spirituality. And our spirituality is reliant on the depth and the foundation of love. See, when Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself, that means I got to look at how I'm loving myself. How do I talk to myself in private? And when Jesus said to love your enemy, well, now, woo, now something else is going on. What's happening in my mind when I hear that? Well, I want to excuse myself and how I don't love my enemy. But you see, the command of Jesus leaves me no quarter for that. Leaves me no room to budge and to fudge and to whine and toe the ground and say, well, come on now, you can't really do that. I would suggest you really can do it, or Jesus would not have commanded it. So to that end, in the new year, there's a deep spirituality connected to love that is our invitation as we go into the unknown. And that's part of what a new year brings. We're pausing to examine the unknown. We're pausing to look at our last year and how we functioned well or badly. And we're going to pause and look into the new year with a determination to function more and more. I don't want to say mo better, but I'll say it just to get your attention, to be mo better about life. So come on, let's lift our sights, shall we? Jesus said one time that if you had faith as a mustard seed, you could speak to this mountain and it would be removed. It would pluck itself up, uproot itself, and cast itself into the sea. Well, I've spoken to a few mountains in my life, and I've had more than a few mountains pluck up and just jump on top of me and fall on top of me. So I had to get up and dust off and say, dear Jesus, it didn't work the way I was planning. And I believe Jesus' response is irrevocable. Continue on. Don't give up. And I see that in the context here of love. Don't give up. Don't yield one square inch to hate. Don't be on this earth for less than the high value of love. Don't give in to the lowest common denominator of just being so trapped in lovelessness. That's no way to live this life. This life is an invitation to joy. This life is an invitation to higher and better things. This life, this one and only life, this one and only shot we have at beauty. In this new year, let's agree together. Let me join hands with you and agree that we're going to live for the beauty of love. And in that agreement to the beauty of love, may we surrender all of our failed notions of how we could have or should have been loved. And let's surrender to the higher value of how love will pull us forward and upward. To give into the microscope of looking inward of our own life with a searching and fearless moral inventory. And then to look with a telescope of love that looks forward and upward, recognizing my failures are not final. That my failures are beautiful, potential pop quizzes on how am I doing, how can I improve. Well, every No BS Bishop Alive to Love, we conclude with a couple of exercises. If you've been here before, you know where I'm headed. But now I want to spend a moment or two extra to give you this challenge. Every day, breathe deeply. Every day, pull away from the panic, anxiety-driven life. And live the life of a purpose to love. A purpose that is as natural as breathing. I ask you here every week to set up straight, put away your distractions, hold your head up, and then take a deep, deep breath. Pull it in as deep as you can and hold it, and then exhale. Are you ready? Inhale, inhale, hold it there, and exhale. If you could do that two or three times a day and just slow yourself down every day in the new year, breathe as deep as you know how. The most essential human activity physically is taking a breath. We need it to live. We need it to live well. Now, the second challenge I close with is really pertinent to this new year. Saying slowly with eye contact and intentionality. Say it to somebody. I love you. Here in the wintertime in Wisconsin, we occasionally have to melt the ice off of our front door, front porch. Well, if you want to melt the ice off the front door of somebody's life, learn how to say, I love you. Learn how to say it with slow intentionality, like you would sip coffee in a slow, intentional way to enjoy the taste. Whatever it takes to slow your words down, however you need to find people along the way and say, I love you, it's worth the journey. It's worth the awkwardness, the weirdness, the startling behavior of it. It is, and I know it is. I've been there. But I also know I've seen so many people startled awake with their eyes, you know, kind of darting back and forth when I'm trying to make eye contact. And I've seen people who have just lit up. Their eyes went a little brighter in that those brief seconds when I said, hey, I love you. It's not romantic. It's not about seeking some illicit into their soul way to get my way with somebody. No, 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 no. It's about being human, delightfully, beautifully human, and to slow those three most magical, holy, the most charmed words in the human language. Slow it down. Make it worthy of the weight of saying, I love you. It's worth it. And beyond being worth it, the life you save may be your own. The life you save could be others. But it will save your own life. It'll rescue your life from the shallows of self-centeredness, from the shallows of anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. Saying I love you in the new year may indeed save some lives, and it will definitely save your own life. So join me, would you? In 2024, your resolution could be, I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I am not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Well, thank you for being here with me again today on this episode of the No BS Bishop, Alive to Love. Go out there and do something beautiful, especially in the new year, because, oh, baby, 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 ugly is getting done to death. Let's be the people of true beauty. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.